I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
President Biden is likely to sign an executive order that would limit some kind of that would limit illegal border crossings by the end of this month. That is according to a report in Axios that is also detailing this new fight in the West Wing among Biden staffers who don't want to lock the border down the way that Trump did because they think it's inhumane, and between Biden staffers who see the polls and they can see that they are getting clobbered here at the White House by Republicans on the issue of immigration and the border. It seems, according to this report, that this executive order would be similar to what they floated as a trial balloon around the State of the Union that never happened. It would limit who can actually claim asylum once they encounter Border Patrol.
Well, there you have it. The crack in the Biden wall that is the only wall we have in the nation around him, not around our nation. But the Biden wall cracking that, you know, this open border deal is not working. And we've got, what's coming up in November? Oh, yeah, the election. That thing you call the election. And they're beginning to realize, we can't hold this back. I mean, we are the boy at the dike and trying to hold back the water. And it's not going to work. It's coming over the top. It's going around the edges. You can stick your finger in there all day. You're not doing a thing. And the American public, including Democrats, realized, in addition to Biden's age and everything else against him, that immigration issue and inflation are destroying him. So maybe they're just floating a trial balloon, just sending word out, hey, we're getting ready to issue an executive order, because they've talked about it before, and they'll get a lot of press. And a lot of folks said, okay, well, we're good. He's going to close the border, then I'm good. And folks walk away and forget. He never did. We're not going to let them forget, are we? Thank you for joining us. Here we are in the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. Back to back for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. when we're on the air. We're also streaming video. I strongly encourage you to watch either when we're on the air or pull it up later as a podcast. You can see it right now at News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter. Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook or Twitter. And later they're all posted, both audio and video, as podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com and Larry Connors USA Facebook. April 10, mark it down your calendar. April 10, 2024, which is where we are today. Joe Biden sending word out through his minions. Hey. The big guy's thinking about some kind of executive order to change the immigration flow. In other words, maybe close the border or just make it a little harder or just blah, blah, blah talk. We're not going to do a damn thing. Once again, back to Peter Doocy at the White House.
It would limit who can actually claim asylum once they encounter Border Patrol at a point of entry. But again, we have no reason to think that this is definitely going to happen except for this report, because they have floated this. We don't know if this is just something where the political folks here want to put out the word that they are concerned about this issue, but it's just something that they are looking into down the line. Because in this interview that just dropped last night, President Biden is talking about this piece of legislation, the bipartisan Senate legislation, as the best remedy for fixing problems at the border. The problem with that bill is it's not like officially dead, but it's never going to become the law. And so they keep talking about it as the best way to fix this huge thing that they admit is a problem now, but it's not realistic that that's ever going to make it to his desk. So they are looking at executive orders, and we'll see. We will see where they get with that.
Yeah, we're going to see where they get with it, because they've got problems in their own ranks. He still has to bow down to the woke crowd when they come around, and they're not going to like this, but they're going to look at this, quite honestly, like we discussed yesterday with Republicans and Donald Trump, whether or not you like his that he was not going far enough on abortion and accepting in vitro fertilization, which a lot of the pro-lifers don't want any part of, and no exceptions for rape, incest, so forth, they're going to have to walk a delicate balance with Trump on that issue. And Biden's got to do it with the border. So maybe if he says, oh, well, we're going to do it, this will do it, blah, 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 blah. The inflation numbers are already blown up on it. We've looked under the hood, as we said we should the other day, and those numbers that look like 300,000 jobs, we found out 70,000 were federal jobs. Many were probably just part-time, and many of those who had those part-time jobs listed as part of the job growth already had a job. It just wasn't paying enough. And they might have two or three part-time jobs, and now listed as a third time, and it's the same person. And then, of course, we have another issue which is blowing up, and this is going to be difficult for Republicans as well as Democrats. Let's be honest about it. The House did vote to impeach Mayorkas. Speaker Johnson wanted to send it to Chuck Schumer as soon as they came back from Easter recess. He did so. And Schumer had a lot of options. But now there's another twist, Maria Bartiromo.
Welcome back. House Speaker Mike Johnson delaying the Senate impeachment trial of Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas until next week. The decision coming after a group of at least 10 Senate Republicans urged the Speaker to delay delivering the articles of impeachment to the Senate to allow more debate and prevent Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer from tabling the trial completely ahead of the weekend and then sending senators home. Kansas Senator Roger Marshall says if Schumer does not let this trial happen, Republicans will respond. Watch.
Tabling this impeachment articles is a nuclear option. In our estimation, this is a nuclear option, and it will necessitate some type of nuclear retaliations.
Some type of nuclear retaliation, according to the Kansas senator, that there might need to be something. That was Kansas Senator Roger Marshall speaking at that point. Well, now, what exactly is meant by that? With Texas Congressman Pfluger on Schumer maybe tabling, as we said the other day, his options. He can immediately, okay, let's go ahead and have a full public hearing. He sends it into committee and let it die there, or he can table it. Well, again, Texas Congressman Pfluger says that's not going to work for him.
Chuck Schumer wants this gone today. So does the president. They know that this issue is a losing issue for him. They know that most Americans know that the border is a complete tragedy and a disaster. And to not even be able to hear the facts presented to the Senate, like should be, is just completely disrespectful of our system of government. So I'm glad that we've delayed it. We've been urging for the same thing. There needs to be a maximum pressure campaign applied to people like John Tester, Sherrod Brown, others who really need to take the courage to say, let's hear the facts. The American public deserves some transparency. That has not happened yet, and I'm glad that we are delaying for another week to continue to get those facts out into the public.
But why would it be any different in a week as far as Chuck Schumer is concerned? I mean, maybe he doesn't table it this week, so he tables it next week.
Well, I think you're right, but I think time is on our side to do everything we can to at least show the American public the facts, the fact that we have 8.5 million people illegally here, 300 plus on the terror watch list, 100,000 deaths due to fentanyl. I mean, the list goes on and on. We've talked about it so many times over the last couple of years. But now is the time that the American public deserves to understand that the Senate, under Chuck Schumer's leadership, is just going to table this, that they don't even have the respect for the system to hear it. And I think that's why you hear people like Roger Marshall and others that are saying that's unacceptable. And they're going to retaliate. We'll see how that actually happens and what their tactics are.
Yeah, because the tactics would be key moving forward. But again, the delay is the issue. And why do they want the delay? Exactly for Pfluger, what he said, Congressman Pfluger, pointing out this is the kind of thing they just want to go away. If we can't make it go away, hide it under a rock. If we can hide it under a rock, shove it on a train and let it be fallen off the train somewhere 1,000 miles from here. Bottom line is, as Senator Ted Cruz and Louisiana Senator Kennedy say, you are accountable.
The second reason Schumer wants to table the articles of impeachment is he does not want a trial. He does not want the American people to see the facts. When each of us lay out the facts of what's going on, no Democrat argues. There's not another side. They don't defend it and say, no, 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 it's great. Don't worry about the people who are dying. Don't worry about the children being raped. Don't worry about the Mexican drug cartels making billions of dollars. The Democrats have no response. Their response is they count on the media not to report it. That's their entire strategy.
And Senator Schumer is just going to dismiss that? Not even hold a trial? Because he thinks he has the votes and it's politically expedient? Isn't that special? And every one of you here know that if Republicans were doing the same thing, you would be catatonic and foaming at the mouth.
Oh, yeah, they would be rabid, would they not? Again, Louisiana Senator Kennedy. Now, this is also causing some issues for Speaker Mike Johnson again. Marjorie Taylor Greene and others are saying, don't delay pushing it in front of Schumer. Again, some House Republicans are in favor of let's continue to talk about it and make it bigger and noisier before it gets to him so we can use this time for our advantage. But Marjorie Taylor Greene and others say, you go down that road, we will have your head. We will once again have a new vote for a new speaker. That's another part we need to see play out. Now, that is all a big critical issue, obviously. Conservatives, Democrats as well, looking at that. But the mainstream media, the state-controlled media, continues to ignore this, except when it might work to their benefit, reference Biden and maybe the new plan to shut the wall or something of that nature. And maybe they'll get around to Schumer and the tabling and not holding an impeachment inquiry and trial for Mayorkas. But they have a trial they are focused on, and this is covering wall to wall for them. It's a trial coming up Monday involving Donald Trump.
An appeals court judge has rejected another attempt by Trump to delay his upcoming hush money trial set to get underway next week. It's a criminal trial. Trump's attorneys tried to argue yesterday that the proceedings should be postponed while his team challenges a court-imposed gag order that they call unconstitutional. The judge swiftly rejected that argument, and jury selection is still slated to begin on Monday. If it starts on Monday, Willie, that would be history.
Yeah, so that is a criminal case from a former president of the United States, a trial set to resume Monday. That's the hush money trial. Meanwhile, special counsel Jack Smith has earned a partial victory in the classified documents case against former President Trump. Yesterday, Judge Aileen Cannon granted the request from federal prosecutors to keep the names of government witnesses sealed. However, she also ruled significant portions of witness statements to investigators can be made public.
So that is a key that they're focusing on. The trial for Trump supposedly is going to start Monday. But you're hearing Willie Geist talking to Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC about that and possible win on another case. But just back to the possible trial for Monday and the judge's order that we're not going to follow what you want in holding back some of the names and information, because that'll be available anyway. Once you understand the testimony, you'll be able to track it down. But Willie Geist of MSNBC raised the question to Joyce Vance, a former U.S. attorney, and I don't think he got the answer he wanted.
On balance here, a good day for the prosecution or not so much?
You know, I'm in the not so much camp on this one, Willie. And this is a very surprising decision. Something that judges are typically very good about, it's not viewed as an issue that's pro-prosecution or pro-defense, is protecting witnesses in trials. People who come forward to do their duty, in many cases, they don't have a choice about doing it. They're under subpoena. And so when there's any sort of a threat to their safety or security, even one that's not as serious of a threat as what we know exists here, because we've seen how Trump is able to rally his base, even in those more modest cases, judges are very protective of witnesses when necessary. And here, even though their names may be redacted, the special counsel may have to fight that on a case-by-case basis, but some of the details of their testimony that will be released may make it possible to identify them. And so now we're in a moment where there's a game about the identity and the safety of witnesses. It's something that no federal judge should permit to happen in her courtroom.
But apparently that's where it's going at this point, to some extent. But again, is the trial actually going to take place Monday? Now, they're scheduled to start jury selection, but there's a lot of time between now and Monday. And there are lawyers that are ready with all kinds of briefs. Once again, MSNBC, Joyce Vance, former prosecutor, on all the delay tactics still available.
Jury selection now, after yesterday's decision, slated to begin on Monday in a historic criminal case against a former president of the United States. Do you see anything between where we sit right now and this trial actually getting underway on Monday?
The former president looks increasingly desperate to keep this one from going to trial. And Willie, I know we've gotten into the habit of calling it the hush money case, but Judge Juan Merchan issued a series of rulings earlier this week talking about how he would conduct the jury voir dire, the jury selection process. He will read a description of the case to jurors that will explain that it's about interference in advance of the 2016 election. And that's where this case is properly positioned. That's why Trump is so desperate to keep it from going to trial. Look, I've seen defendants who really don't want their case to proceed to engage in a full display of delay tactics late in the game. We might see someone become ill. Certainly that won't benefit Donald Trump politically, but you know, when the stakes are this high, maybe he'll decide it's time to develop an illness. He might try firing his lawyers. But what has seemed clear in the last few days is that the courts are on to what's going on here. And these New York appellate judges have said, look, you can appeal your issue about venue or the gag order, but what you can't do is delay the trial in order to do that.
But again, he could get sick. I know that would be a cop-out. But of course, we see the left do it all the time, and they're never called for it. That's what's been happening with Mayorkas. This is where we are now with the impeachment proceeding against him. By the way, former CIA Director John Brennan is stepping forward. Perfect timing. Interviewing with a Belgian state broadcaster saying, Donald Trump is not qualified to handle national security matters. He said, I don't think he believed what we were telling him. Did he say the same thing about Obama when he sat with Obama and Vice President Biden at the time and Attorney General Lynch and former FBI Director Comey and told them the Russian collusion story is all a hoax by Hillary? Did he claimed that they didn't understand and buy it either? Huh. No, it did not. I'll answer it for you. Next hour, the Washington Post. Could it be more dangerous? The Washington Post more dangerous than Russian propaganda? That's coming up next hour. Later in this hour, former Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly goes ballistic on men and women's sports and remarks from women's movement leader Gloria Steinem. But first, a 30-year vet of our Army Special Forces and his thoughts about Joe Biden knows how best to fight Hamas and is telling Israel what to do or not do. Really? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings, to mold, to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, my guest. We've had on numerous times before, but of course for a while we've been missing opportunities, but glad to have him back again. Steve Bucci with Heritage Foundation, and glad to have you again, sir. 30 years Special Forces Armed Forces or Special Forces officer. Glad to have you back, sir.
Oh, it's great to be back on the show, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Well, I wanted to get your thought and your take on several things regarding how the Biden administration is basically trying to tell Israel how to fight against Hamas and what they can and can't do. But let me begin with one specific point about NATO, quote, going to, according to Blinken the other day, is going to build a bridge towards Ukraine and make it a member of NATO. Your thought on that to begin with?
Well, I'm not sure where he thinks NATO is going to build a bridge, or if he's speaking metaphorically there. You know, Ukraine for a long time didn't want to be a part of NATO. They were comfortable not being a part, you know, sort of being a neutral country. But Russia has kind of forced their hand, and the only potential for being safe in the future is for them to be a part of NATO, at least in their analysis. So I'm not sure the rest of the NATO countries have agreed to that yet. So I'm not sure if Mr. Blinken is, you know, talking aspirationally or he knows something the rest of us don't.
Well, one thing about that is exactly the rationale that Russia was using, that they are thinking about joining NATO. And if they join NATO, that's going to put U.S. forces possibly right on our eastern or western doorstep. And that's going to be way too close. Of course, they already hold Crimea, but they wanted to make sure that Ukraine was not going to go into NATO. And then we were told by the NATO at the time, we have no plans to include them, no plans whatsoever. What's changed?
Well, the change has been what Russia has done with their invasion of Ukraine and trying to take over the country by force. There's a concern that if we let Russia do that, will Russia then say, well, you know, but we really, you know, these countries up here in the Baltics, you know, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, they're all part of NATO now. And, you know, maybe then Russia says, well, we can't have that. We need to have them back under our wing. So it's kind of a potential slippery slope. And then if you get to the you know, sort of academic end of it, there's also, you know, Russia is basically trying to rewrite the rules of the international system, and that even though those countries were allowed to become independent nations, now they're putting conditions on that independence, you know, 20 years after the fact, that were not there before. And, you know, that bothers a lot of people, not just in Europe, but in Africa and other places that were formerly part of an empire, which is what the Soviet Union was, you know, in Africa or other places. They're right. Worried, does that mean the Belgians are going to suddenly say, oh, hey, we want the Congo back. We're going to go down there and take it, or the Brits or the French or the Portuguese. So a lot of stuff, a lot of complications with all this that does impinge on U.S. interests.
All right, let's focus on, and again, you're listening, Stephen Bucci, 30 years Army Special Forces officer, top Pentagon official, now the Heritage Foundation. Let's talk about military tactics. And again, a headline on CNN, which we'd be expected, devastation in Gaza as Israel wages war on Hamas. And, of course, the Biden administration the other day making it very clear that he was angry that some aid workers got killed by accident. Israel admitted that was a mistake. But the other thousands of casualties are because Hamas is holding them hostages. And Biden administration, which withdrew from Afghanistan, leaving Americans and some of our supporters in Afghanistan vulnerable and leaving all the equipment nearby, they are qualified to tell Israel how to fight Hamas?
Yeah, you're making a great point, Larry. The, you know, I hope people remember that after the bombing in the withdrawal of Afghanistan, supposedly the Biden administration got intel on where the terrorist group who claimed responsibility for that bombing was located. They sent in a drone. They blew up a bunch of stuff, and it turned out to be totally the wrong people. The intel was completely, you know, sort of manipulated by the enemy, and we killed a bunch of innocent people. That's, you know, we try not to do that. Israel tries not to do that. But to sit there and say, well, because Israel did this terrible thing with these aid workers, now they have to listen to Biden on how to fight the war. I'm with you. Right now, this administration has no credibility to tell anybody how to fight the war, particularly another sovereign nation who kind of knows the neighborhood a lot better than we do,
yeah,
by orders of magnitude. So I find it ludicrous that Biden, Blinken, and Sullivan are sitting there trying to tell the Israelis how to finish Hamas, and then turns around and tells Israel they have to unilaterally do a ceasefire, even though Hamas is saying, no, we're not going to do a ceasefire. We're not going to release any hostages.
No.
They have to give us more stuff.
Yeah, and we want more stuff in. We'll turn a few loose. Some of them they may give us may already be dead. That'll be a comfort to the family, get them back. And we're going to release some of the Hamas members we're holding, or Israel is holding in its prisons anyway. There is no gain there for Israel. Now, Israel has made it clear, Netanyahu says, we are going to go into Rafah. There are another four battalions there. We are going to go in and get them. We're just pulling back for a time for reconnoitering or whatever they might be doing. But they are determined to go forward. And the Biden administration is basically saying, proportional war, you've had more than enough killed. It should be enough.
Well, it's really not our call to make. You know, the closest thing in history that I've seen to this was, you know, the Neville Chamberlain saying, well, you know what, we'll give the Nazis half of Czechoslovakia. They'll be okay with that. You know, it's for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his country to give away. It's not Joe Biden's security that's at stake here. It's Israel's security. So to be honest with you, I hate to be disrespectful to a president, but Joe Biden needs to sit down, shut up, support Israel, or behind the scenes, if you disagree with them, send Blinken over to talk to him. But you don't need to do this publicly. You don't need to, you know, make it sound like Israel is a colony of the United States, because it's not. It is a sovereign nation whose leaders understand that their people's lives are at stake if they don't do this right.
Well, on top of that,
motivated to get this correct.
Yeah, on top of that, Hamas is holding a lot of the Palestinians that might actually want to leave the area. The day after October 7, if Israel really didn't care anything about civilian casualties, they could have wiped Gaza off the face of the map. Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they were that callous towards the Palestinian people, particularly the civilians, why in the world would they send their own troops into the most horrific kind of combat you can do on the ground, which is clearing very large, complicated urban terrain, in this case with miles and miles of tunnels underneath the urban terrain, rather than just use the Russian model, which is just, you just level it and kill everybody there.
And to that extent,
Israel's not doing that.
No, they haven't, and certainly they could. Now, the other extent is they're saying, well, we'll try to move some of them to another place in Gaza, which brings the other point up. No other Muslim nation wants a PLO in their backyard because they're afraid Hamas will come with them, and then their nation will be under attack.
Exactly right. The Jordanians had the Palestinians in their country, graciously opened up their country a long time ago, and they tried to overthrow the king's father, the king at the time, and they expelled them all. The Egyptians for sure don't even want to open their gates to let aid through on their side. Nobody's beaten up the Egyptians about it. This is the first time in history, Larry, normally you fight another side, and if you win, afterwards you help rebuild them. We did that with Germany. We did it with Italy. We did it with Japan to great effect and benefit to the world. But we didn't start sending aid and rebuilding efforts before the war was over. And in this case, the Palestinian leaders in Hamas are not just, they're not sitting there mildly, they're saying, yes, we did October 7th. Yes, we're proud of what we did. And you know what? We're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And so how in the world anybody thinks the Israelis should unilaterally give those folks any sort of benefit is beyond me. It's delusional.
But that perfect word there.
Perfect. Yeah, our government continues to do it, and it's embarrassing.
Embarrassing and obviously inept, our commander-in-chief. Steve Bucci, we will do it again, sir.
I look forward to it.
Thank you very much for your time. Coming up, Biden says, I have a legacy I want to leave behind that regards my leadership, especially as a commander-in-chief. Oh, you got to hear this. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
news, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Did you spend a lot of time thinking about what your legacy would look like?
Well, I hope the legacy is that I kept my word, that I said that the reason I was running was to help change the life of ordinary people and reduce the prospect of war. And because of Vietnam. And when I ran, I said that I was once asked, well, why? When I was 29 years old, I said, it must be a secret. And I said, yeah, the secret you got to ask yourself is, what are you willing to lose over? You figure out what you're willing to lose over, you got an idea what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And so I hope my legacy is that I was honest, straightforward, and did what I said.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid you've already shown you don't have that capability. That was President Joe Biden. In a special that's being done about my legacy is I kept my word. Well, which word is it you want us to keep? I mean, let's just start there, sir. Which word do we want to keep? Do we want to keep the fact that you used to travel the Francis Scott Key Bridge all the time by car and train? There's no train track on that bridge, never has been. Do we want to take many of the other stories that you completely fouled up? Do we want to get into those? And then, of course, as Commander-in-Chief, do you want to deal with your Afghanistan over the night, middle of the night withdrawal, leaving equipment, munitions, and everything at Bagram Airfield, and suddenly the next day when the Afghans are trying to form their own fight against Taliban and they're calling for air support, there's nobody to come. They're all gone. We have a handful of troops still at the international airport in Kabul, and everybody now is rushing to that airport to get out. That included Americans, which we said would get out. Some with dual passports, some full Americans, but they had married members of the Afghan community during that 20-plus years they were there, and they had families. They were promised they would get them out. They told Afghans who helped our troops for 20-plus years in that war, we will help you because we know the moment we leave, the Taliban, if they return, they'll cut your heads off. And you remember the videos of the planes being jam-packed with people, and others then were clinging to the outside of it as it's taxiing down to take off, and even at an altitude, maybe 800 to 1,000-plus feet, they can't hang on anymore, and they fall to their death. But to them, that was a better chance than to deal with the Taliban. Imagine the desperation you must feel in such a sense that you're willing to gamble your life that I will fall from this jet. There's no way you know you're going to survive. But I know I'm going to die if I stay here. So Biden again saying, I hope my legacy is I kept us from getting in war and reduce the prospect of war. We had Crimea during the Obama years. Now we have Ukraine. We have Russia doing pretty much what it damn well wants to. We have the Middle East on fire because numerous nations are involved in whatever they can against Israel and the U.S., and in particular the Iran proxies, terrorists that are also in our nation. Similar question and response from President Trump as to what he thinks he can do.
Standing before you today, I am the only candidate who can make this promise. I will prevent World War III. I promise. Not going to be a World War III.
Well, I'd hope he's right. I hope we get to his presidency again. Now, if you don't like Trump, that's fine by me. I don't have an issue with that. You're entitled to your opinion. But I'm going to ask you again, are you a patriot? As a patriot, do you want our nation invaded by so many illegals and we don't know anything about them? We don't know what their intent is. We know if you were a terrorist leader in Iran or somewhere, you're thinking, what a great opportunity to get our terrorists inside their country. They're basically at the door open. Now, we can't put them on planes and fly them over because they have no fly list, but we can get them into Mexico by some means or another and then basically cross the border. And don't forget about the Chinese military-age men who've been crossing the border on a constant basis. The other day, almost 200 gathered at one location were captured by the Border Patrol, or at least detained. Haven't heard anything since, but they were all Chinese military-age men. Why do you think they want to come to America? Oh, they want to get away from communist China. You do realize, you must realize, if that many military-age men, and this is just a small fraction, it's estimated now to be north of 20,000 easily, if that many are missing, even from a country with billions like China, they will know. They will know they're gone, and they will seek retaliation against their families. No, they were sent here. Now, I'll let you and your mind wander as to why, and it will be enough to wake you in the middle of the night. You need to know about something that took place late yesterday. The Arizona State Supreme Court ruling that bans most abortions, Democrats think this will carry them to victory in November. President Biden in 2020 became the first presidential candidate to win Arizona in 24 years. And now it's back in front of everyone. And what has happened is that the Arizona State Supreme Court banning nearly all abortions, with exception only save the mother's life, Carrie Lake, Republican candidate for Senate, makes it clear how painful the issue abortion law is for Republicans, and stating, I oppose today's ruling. I'm calling on Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs and the state legislature to come with an immediate common sense solution. She said in 2022, the near total ban the ruling upholds is a great law. It sets examples for other states. But of course, Monday, President Trump said abortion access is a question for individual states. That was not enough for pro-lifers, anti-abortionists. They think he was not being as strong as he should be. In the past, Lake has also called abortions, quote, the ultimate sin. But Republicans are in a delicate balancing act again on this issue. My guest the other day said, I think the time has expired on Roe v. Wade decision as to how it might affect our elections going forward. I'm not so sure, but here's what you're going to see coming down to possibly. You're going to have the Republicans having to defend themselves against some of these abortion laws, particularly in states where they have pretty much outlawed it in one way or another. But you're going to have primarily the Democrats trying their best to defend Biden's inflation and mainly the illegal immigration issue. And who wants to stand in front of that train? Now, something else happened the other day. Megyn Kelly went ballistic when she was listening to some people talking about, and on one podcast source in particular, and it may also have been referenced to what the South Carolina women's basketball coach Dawn Staley said the other day after her team won. I'll come to her statements in a moment, but basically Staley and others have stated that maybe, yeah, it should be okay for men posing as women or even transgender men to compete in women's sports.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You could stand up for women, but you're too cowardly to do it. She says, I don't have all the answers, but I'm always looking for more of them. I've got one for you, Nancy. Shut the fuck up until you know what you're talking about. Because girls are getting hurt by male basketball players posing as girls. I take you out to Massachusetts, where Lowell was playing in a game. The Lowell school was playing in a game, and they had to call it at the half because three players got hurt. It's happening over and over and over and over. I'm so sick of these women who are so terrified of the woke mob or trying to shore up their own bona fides with this crowd, afraid to say what they know is right. I have a daughter who played basketball just weeks ago. And the thought of her going up against a biological man on that court is terrifying.
It would be terrifying. And a lot of parents have pulled their kids from such sports if it's going to involve transgender men and it's physical contact. If it's a chess match, no big deal. But if it's anything physical, and basketball is a physical game, and no equipment to protect you like headgear and pads is in football, do you want your girl to be run over? Well, the South Carolina women's basketball coach, after the Gamecocks won their game the other day and became number one in the nation as beating to win their game, Dawn Staley was asked in her statement about transgender women participating in women's sports. She said, if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. And after part of her answer, she actually asked the reporter, do you want me to go deeper? And yes, the reporter said, do you think transgender women should be able to participate? And Dawn Staley, South Carolina women's basketball coach, said, that's the question you want to ask. I'll give you that. Yes, yes. Transgender women should be able to participate in women's sports. And then admitted, so now the Barnstormer people are going to flood my social media timeline. I have to ask Coach Staley, how do you think your team would have done if you were up against Purdue's Zach the other day? Zach Edey standing 7'4", or the opposing big guy on the other team at 7'2". How do you think your women, I don't care even if they might be that high, which they're not, how do you think they would have held up? Do you think you would have won the game against guys that at that height and decision in their age decide, I'm going to be playing in women's sports? No, Dawn Staley, you would not have won that championship. The other day, I was thinking about, where's Gloria Steinem in all this, the founder of the women's movement? Let's go back about 8 years ago. Gloria Steinem was talking about where we are now compared to when she started the women's movement. That was basically 1972.
The reaction from mainstream culture to the women's movement in the beginning was mainly amusement. That was the good part. Ridicule was the bad part. The first struggle was really to be taken seriously. Actually, when we started to get serious opposition, I thought we were getting somewhere, you know, because we were not just, you're so cute when you're mad. the women's movement, the civil rights movement, the gay and lesbian movement, all the great social justice movements have begun to remove labels from people and allow us to be the unique human beings we really are.
We are unique human beings, and as the Vatican issued in its Declaration of Dignity the other day, man is created by God. Man has no right to recreate man other than what God has allowed. In 1972, Steinem had, by the way, she had had an abortion in 1957 while traveling to India. And then later she began writing for things like Esquire, Cosmopolitan, New York. 72, she founded Ms. Magazine. The magazine itself in 1974 published an excerpt from a trans travel writer. That led to a lot of backlash. So then she began to consider where she was on trans. And in 77, she basically took the fact that maybe transgenders don't belong in women's sports. But then she changed, as she later said, if the shoe doesn't fit, change a foot, and beginning to say maybe trans should be allowed. And then she's being asked, look, you started the women's movement and everything that came with it. And here was an interesting question, which I think should go for all of us and what we contribute to life.
People at my age do ask me, you know, who am I passing the torch to? And I always say, first of all, I'm keeping my torch, thank you very much. And I'm using it to light other torches, because everybody needs a torch. That is a way better revolutionary image than one person with a torch.
Now that I would agree with. But I want to take you back to the when she started the Women's Media Center, an organization that works to make women visible and powerful in the media. That's before all the transgender stuff started. And she actually said women over transgenders until just recently. The tide has turned and she doesn't want to face into the wind. Coming up, some stupidity from a Texas congresswoman who knows nothing about the moon and was on the science committee. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.